Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Devorah Zack is president of Only Connect Consulting, and she's the author of three books, Networking for People Who Hate Networking, Managing for People Who Hate Managing, and the third title, no, it's not what you might think. It's actually called Single Tasking, Getting More Done One Thing at a Time. And that's what we're here to talk to her about right now. It's a brand new book. It's published. All three of her books are published by Barrett Kohler. She's a favorite of the AMA Edgewise audience here. She has an MBA from Cornell. She has a BA from University of Pennsylvania. She does a lot of awesome consulting and in-depth work with Cornell University's Johnson Graduate Business School of Management. And she's a certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, and she's apparently a certified Myers-Briggs type indicator person. And maybe we could talk a little bit about that at some point. Devorah, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Single tasking, that is kind of runs counter to the flow of what we're hearing and almost everywhere in the business world, job descriptions, looking for multitaskers. Open up any business blog right now, look at the way people sell software or scheduling tools or culture of being a multitasker. What prompted you to write a book on single tasking?
Well, it turns out that multitasking is a myth. Multitasking is, in fact, impossible. Our brains can only do one thing at a time. And what's commonly called multitasking in popular culture, the scientists refer to as task switching, which is what is really happening in your brain when you think you're multitasking. Your brain is rapidly going from one task to the other back and forth, making it much less efficient than when you focus your energy on one task at a time. You really can, like the subtitle of the book says, get more done when you focus on one task, one item, one person at a time.
All right. So if a person is a modern-day person, a modern-day business person, and they're all wrapped around the axles with multitasking right now, how do they detox? How do you become a single tasker? What are the first steps?
The first step is awareness, is realizing that being overwhelmed and bombarding your brain with stimuli makes you more frenetic and less effective. In fact, it gets even worse than that. Scientists have also discovered, neuroscientists have measured the gray matter in the brain and the prefrontal cortex and have realized that it shrinks the brain to multitask or to do what we call so-called multitasking because, in fact, you cannot do two competing tasks at the same time in your brain. So it shrinks your brain. It makes you less efficient. It reduces your intelligence, it reduces your focus, and it also harms relationships. When we think we're trying to please everyone all the time, we end up making a lot more mistakes. We end up having diffused attention. It's what I call a big syndrome in our culture, scattered brain syndrome. And that means that we are almost never present in the moment and present in the conversation. And that destroys relationships, productivity, and even our brains.
In the book, you not only give advice to people who are obviously looking for advice to be more efficient and effective in the business world, but also from a personal standpoint as well. I guess what you're trying to say is this: there's one big umbrella here because you only have one brain. And if you sort it out in one part of your life, you can definitely sort it out in another part of your life. Is that correct?
Exactly. In fact, this book, Single Tasking, has two different self-assessments. One of the self-assessments focuses on your work life, and one of them focuses on your home life. And that's exactly to your point, because there's two different areas of our life, and often more, but two primary areas, our interpersonal relationships and our professional world. And both can be improved upon by learning how to single task. And the two phases of single tasking are internal and external. So first is to learn how to discipline your brain, how to focus your brain on one item at a time, one experience at a time, to be fully present. And that's linked to the kind of be here now mantra of being present in the moment instead of thinking about the past or the future or what might happen or what could happen. So it also dissipates worry when you're single tasking. Then the next step is to manage your environment. So the space around you, how do you create an environment that's conducive to single tasking? And part of that, a sort of subsection of your environment, is the people around you. So how do you manage expectations of the people around you so that they will be more satisfied when you single task?
Is the science behind this proven, or are you just one of those sort of back of the napkin farmer's almanac? It's going to rain.
I wish. The book would have been so much easier if I just did it off the cuff. I did a lot of research, so much research I had to cut a good portion from the book because it was too much research to publish in one book, in one slim volume. However, there study after study in many different disciplines of science have proven that we are more efficient and more effective. And also, by the way, live calmer, happier lives when we do one thing at a time. Now, some people say, oh, that's a luxury. I mean, that sounds great, Devorah, but I don't have the luxury in my life to do one thing at a time. So if you're thinking that while you're listening to this, what I would respond to you is you don't have the time to not do one thing at a time. Because when we attempt to do more than one thing at a time, we make a lot more mistakes. We do things less well. We have to redo things. And we're not, we say we're trying to be all things to all people, but in fact, we're not really there for anybody. So by focusing your mind and focusing your environment and really giving people your full attention when you're interacting, you can accomplish more at the end of the day and the end of the week than when you're attempting to layer your work and layer your attention with several things at once.
Now, this next question is sort of, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's probably not, because you and I have spoken about this off microphone, and that's the whole issue of how seriously people take this issue. Them's fighting words kind of thing, but what do you say to people who say, you know, yeah, you can have my iPhone after you pry it out of my cold, dead hand? You know, people get really emotional about this stuff, don't they?
They really do, and that's because people are getting pretty tense and pretty tightly wound because we have so many demands. So I want to say it's understandable why we think we need to always be on and always be plugged in. And so really, if you're a logical person, to think about logically, and in the book there's lots of statistics around this and lots of data and lots of references, that we not only get more done, but we also are going to be a lot more effective. And professionally, we're going to be rewarded, as studies have proven, by relearning how to do one thing at a time. The human brain is hardwired to do one thing at a time, and our culture's gotten a little out of control and pushing us in the opposite direction. And, I mean, some of the other authors who've read the book and commented on it have said things such as, this book can save your life, and they mean it quite literally. Unfortunately, on a serious note, there are just as many, if not potentially more, deadly traffic accidents from distracted driving as there are from drunk driving. And the reason why I say potentially more, because it's very difficult to prove distracted driving in accidents, but even when they can prove it, it's outpacing driving under the influence. And there's also a whole bunch of other types of accidents going on that not as many people are aware of that don't involve vehicles. Like texting while walking can cause people to have serious injuries, falling down stairs, walking into things. And also, that's just on a very realistic note of people hurting or damaging their lives, but professionally you can also damage your life. But you're on a conference call and you're trying to actually check emails while you're on the conference call with an important client, and then the client says, so what do you think of that? And you have no idea what they just said. Mm-hmm. It also is very harmful to personal relationships, because a lot of us just go out, like you said, you never want to leave the phone out of your hand, and so you're really doing a bunch of other things instead of paying attention to people that matter to you. So it's a real downward spiral. Luckily, we have the balm for these ails, and it's single-tasking.
Now, multitasking, let's just start with that for a second, because we can poke holes in it all day long here. But multitasking and the myth of multitasking, it didn't just sort of spring forth with the origin of the internet, right? I mean, this isn't just something that only modern man, you know, has had to deal with. There's a bit of a history to where, you know, we as a species or we as a society have had to deal with things like this. And you present a little bit of that history in the book. Would you mind walking us through a little bit of that? Do you mind?
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. I'm really interested, as you mentioned, in the history of how we got to this modern predicament. And it started a long time ago. And there have been a lot of writers who have written about it and researchers. For example, when the light bulb was invented, some people got really up in arms that this was going to ruin our culture because all of a sudden people were going to have to work all hours. When the telegraph was invented, people thought it would create a false sense of urgency that you could send a telegram instead of a normal letter. And when the telephone was invented, Carl Jung specifically called it a modern technological demon, that he wanted to leave Europe because he said now people could call each other all the time and people wouldn't be living in the present moment. So at every stage that we've been in since the Industrial Revolution, it's been stepping up the game. But in each phase, those people living in that era thought, this is terrible. We're getting more and more distracted. Even things that nowadays we would think were quaint, like an answering machine.
Is it important to complete one task before you do another task, or can I jump from task to task? And so in essence, I am only single task. I'm only working on one thing at a time. But how important is completion?
You can step from task to task. The reason why I think that minor change is because when people do a lot of real jumping, like frenetically going from one task to the other, that becomes what we call task switching, and that is when people start losing focus. However, you do not need to complete one task before you move on to the other. It's just when you're working on a task in a given period of time, you're giving that task your full attention. So if you have a big project you're working on, and let's say you can only commit 15 minutes a day to it, it's a long-term project, that's fine. Just for those 15 minutes, you're working on that project. And it doesn't mean that you're never available to people. It means you can do what I call cluster tasking, and that's putting like tasks together at a few distinct intervals during the day. So rather than being online all day, like immediately responding to every email as it comes in, maybe designate 2, 3, or 4 times a day when you're in a cluster task reading and responding to emails so that you're not constantly having your focus interrupted.
Yeah, but let's just stick for a second longer on this whole issue of finishing things. Now, this is going to sound stupid, but isn't it good to get things done? You know what I mean? Isn't there something to be celebrated and enjoyed and the satisfaction and that you get in just, you know, actually finishing something?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I would encourage you to find the best time of the day for you, given your own internal rhythms, your own internal clock, and the environment you work in, to get things off your list of things to do. For me, it's early in the morning. So I'm a morning person, so I'll get up and I'll get a whole bunch of things done early in the morning. But it also means consciously prioritizing items that are important to me but may not be urgent to a particular client. Like maybe like when I'm writing a book, right? So if I have a client project coming up and I need to get my slide deck together, and let's do that day at 3, but I'm working on a book so I need to spend an hour every day on the book, I might start off with that hour writing because it's important, even though it doesn't have a specific deadline that day. But long-term projects, you're not going to be able to finish them. But when you have something that only takes, let's say, under an hour to do, yes, you're right, that it's better to get something done and checked off your list. I just don't want to weigh people down thinking, well, if I have an 8-hour project, I'm not allowed to stop until I finish.
Right. Now, you and I are friends, right?
You bet.
In Chapter 4, you feature a character, and I don't know if he's based on anyone you know, but I want to set the record clear that Dave that is in Chapter 4 is not me.
Well, let's put it this way. You can be very honored. I probably named Dave after you just because it's fun to use my friends' names. However, Dave, especially Dave in Scenario 1, bears no resemblance to you. Now, people who are not holding the book in their hands, this is what we're talking about. What I do is I take a typical guy named Dave, and I put him through a day where he's just living his life and attempting to be multitasker, and how things don't get checked off his list of things to do, and he runs out of time. And then I show how, by integrating a lot of the techniques around single tasking, he can get everything done comfortably that he needs to get done in a morning with time to spare.
We've been speaking to good friend and author Devorah Zack. Please check out our new book, Single Tasking, Getting More Done One Thing at a Time. Devorah, this is really cool stuff. Thanks for sharing it with us today.
The pleasure is mine.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.